Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to Backyard Steakout Presents. I'm your host, James W.
And this is your co-host, Chef Linda.
Here on Spreaker.com. Hey, Linda.
Hey, James. How's it going?
Going good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
All right.
We have a really great guest for today.
Yep, we sure do. We have Dee Smith from Texas.
All right.
And
hi, Dee.
Yeah.
Hi. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just got up a little while ago.
Me too.
So, Dee, we hear that you're going to try something that you've never done before. We hope that we can help you out with it on the last part of the recipe there. So that, by the time we get done with this episode, you'll be ready to go out and try it yourself.
Well, I have done the recipe many times, but I've never grilled it.
Yeah, right. Well, let's see. We could just start out by just tell everybody about how you would start it, you know, and then we'll cook it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, it's our family's favorite crispy salmon is what we call it. It's coated in peppercorn, coriander, and dill seed with dill weed and some mayonnaise. I use the broiler to make it. Most of the time, but it can be done on a grill. I just personally am not a griller. I slaughter anything I put on the grill, so I don't grill it.
Okay. So you think you might, maybe after this, and get an idea of what's going on with the grill, you might try it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to try it and, you know, be successful from the grill.
Well, what we're going to do is have you maybe go through the step-by-step thing. You know, you say you put this on it, you put that on it. Do you have any certain amounts that you do put on it, or you just kind of like take it and rub it in or anything like that?
Well, I do. I mean, I have it written down in a recipe. Depending on how many I'm cooking for, depends on how much of the seasoning blend that I use. The recipe that I have written down is for 1.5 to 2 pounds of salmon fillet. But if you're using less fillet, then of course you're going to use less seasoning and salt.
Right.
But I can give you all the measurements and
okay.
We can post a recipe to it if you need or like.
Yeah, I never got a chance to look at that recipe. So, that would come in handy. I've got it, but I just never thought to look at it before the show. So, I can't
okay.
help you out. If you leave something out, I won't be able to help you with that.
Well, that's okay. I'll try not to leave anything
maybe
out.
Maybe Linda's got it or looked at it or something. I don't know.
Nope. No, I didn't
okay.
get a chance to look at it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll go ahead. Go ahead and just start from beginning to when it's ready to go into the grill.
Okay. Well, to begin with, it's typically a 1.5 to 2 pound salmon fillet, skin on or not, a couple tablespoons of mayonnaise, and then that's, you know, put on there. The recipe will be posted, but I can tell you the entire recipe or the way I have it written, if that's how you would like for me to tell it to you.
That's okay.
Just
say what you want, what you know, or you can remember on it, and then we'll post it on there too somewhere.
Okay. Well, it's a 1.5 to 2 pound fillet that with 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 3 teaspoons of fresh dill weed, 2 tablespoons of black peppercorn or a mix of peppercorn, 1.5 teaspoons of coriander seed, 1.5 teaspoons of dill seed and 1 to 2 tablespoons of kosher salt, depending on the size of the fish and how much you want on your food.
Right.
Then the recipe is that, you know, just the fillet itself, you take it and you check for any bones that might be in it and remove those if you can. You season the flesh of the fish with salt and smear on the mayonnaise, put on the dill weed, and then you take the seeds. I typically start with the smaller seeds first in a Ziploc bag, and with a mallet, I break them down. I never use a grinder because it becomes a powder and it's a completely different thing. It needs to be the seeds broken down but still in pieces, I guess, how to say it.
I'd never thought of that. I would have just took a grinder and ground it down, but I never thought about turning the most of it into powder.
Yeah, and I think actually the reason why it works so well and it's not too much pepper on it is because it is in a cracked form rather than a powder. Whenever it's broken down into a powder, it's much stronger, you know, and it doesn't have the same texture when it comes off of the grill or out of the oven, out from under the broiler.
Right.
So it's always just a Ziploc bag with a mallet breaking. I start with the smaller seeds, the dill, get those broken down pretty good. Then I'll add the coriander, break them down. Then I add the peppercorn and break them down. That just works the best for me. I mean, you can probably start with all of the seeds in one bag and break them down. Any way you like to do it, that's how I do it. Just cover the salmon with a good coating. You know, I mean, it really is a good coating of seasoning on top of the salmon, and it's ready to go on a cedar plank or something to go on a grill or to go in the oven under a broiler. I usually will broil maybe 5 to 7 minutes, depending on how thick it is. If I've not trimmed the thin areas off of it, I will fold those pieces under so that they don't become overcooked. Check it after about 5 minutes. I prefer mine not overcooked. I like it a little bit undercooked, but not raw. You know, just a little undercooked, a little tiny bit pink in the middle. Pull it out of the oven. Check it with a couple forks in the center. Spread it apart. Once you see that it's still a little bit pink in the center, that's when it's, you know, take it out. Let it sit for about 5 minutes. It'll finish cooking itself through until it's done at that point. I mean, it's a super quick, super fast recipe, and it's actually really delicious.
It's probably like cooking a steak. You know, when you cook a steak, after you take it off, you let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, to let the juices stay in it. Because, you cut into a steak right after you cook it, and the juices are going to run out.
Right.
Yes.
Now, do you like to cook your salmon with the skin on or the skin off?
It really doesn't matter to me. I like it both ways. If I have a fillet without the skin, I will typically do both sides of the fillet so that it has, you know, a little bit of the seasoning on both sides. But if I do a skin on, I never worry about doing anything on that side. I just put it all on the top of the flesh side and cook it in the oven that way, under the broiler.
Right. What is your favorite kind of salmon?
I don't typically get fresh salmon, so the salmon that I get are the big fillets from the supermarket or from the big warehouse grocery places. I usually go for the one that's the brightest red pink. I couldn't tell you the actual one. I should have probably looked that up.
That's okay. Just look for the brightest red pinky salmon and get it.
Yeah.
that's like me. I wouldn't know what fresh salmon looked like, you know. So I just have to take the butcher's word for it or something. The only salmon that I really enjoy is the smoked salmon. You can buy that in a grocery store. It's already it's already smoked in a vacuum bag, and just open it up and start eating on it. But I've never grilled any salmon, fresh salmon like that. But
well, I hope that you will try this one because this one is really good.
Yeah, I'm going to try that because you know you was talking about when you cook it with the skin on it. You know, you cook it with the skin side down, and in your oven, you don't have to flip it over, you know, and if it's got the skin on it. And that's the same way with the grill, too. You don't have to flip it over. But if you get it without the skin on it, you want to put it on some cedar planks to where you can scrape it up and turn it over or whatever.
And cedar
planks are good for giving it a smoky taste because the wood I actually start to burn in a little bit and put off some smoke there.
There's a lot of different
kind of wood you can get. You know, you can get apple wood planks or maple wood planks, different kinds. But if you don't have a plank and it's skinless, you can take you a lemon and slice you two slices of lemon about a third inch, half inch or less. Three slices and lay that on your grill and then put the salmon on top and it won't stick to your grill.
Right. And, yeah, that sounds like a good idea too.
Right.
And the lemon would give it, I mean, I love the lemon, so.
Right. Also, you can take a sheet of aluminum foil that's big enough to hold it all and poke you a little hole in it about every inch apart and lay it on that butter, oil it up, you know, whatever virgin oil or whatever kind you want to use, and lay that fish on that, and it serves the same purpose. And I always had trouble when I used aluminum foil was trying to get a spatula up underneath it because it would rip the aluminum or go down between the grates, you know. But that's it's easy, you know. And like say, you only cook it for so long. I think. What did you say? You know, it says you know, over where I was looking at it, it says you know 10 to 15 minutes for a 1-inch thick piece with no skin.
See, I typically go less than that.
Yeah, right.
Because I prefer, or actually, my family prefers it less done than overdone. Overdone. It's like a whole different dish.
It's like rubbery.
You know, yeah, and dry. Mm-hmm. It's just not that great. I typically will do, whenever I do it, which I always do, under the broiler, I'll put it under the broiler, you know, 2/3 of the way up to the broiler, and 5 to 7 minutes, 1 inch or even more thick, pull it out after about 5 minutes, separate the flesh with two forks and look and see if it's getting really close to being done. I'll just move it down lower, turn the oven off, give it a couple of minutes, pull it out, let it rest for 5, and it's usually perfect at that point. It's still very moist, not overcooked, but it's done. You know, it's not raw.
Kind of like an egg. You know, if you're going to boil an egg, you put it in there and you boil it for 10 minutes and you take it out and put it right into ice water or cold water. So it stops that egg from cooking any longer. So when you take it out of the oven and let it sit, it's still going to cook a little bit. So you don't want to, you know, see, it's better to take it out a little early because if it's not quite done, you can stick it back in there.
Yes, absolutely.
So what would you have to eat with that now if you was going to have that salmon cooked either way? Hush puppies?
Well, no. Usually, no. I would have some hush puppies, but I like hush puppies with my fried fish.
All right.
With that, you know, because it is a very quick recipe, it literally comes from the refrigerator. The seasonings get crushed in a bag. It gets its treatment, goes underneath the broiler. It's pretty close to being done, 15 minutes. So I like to make something that goes really fast with it, like couscous, a salad, something that, you know, they're all kind of done at the same time. Everybody Right. likes different things with theirs, you know, so it's that's just up to them, whoever, whatever they like, whatever their family likes.
Now, what is couscous?
Couscous? It's a very small grain, actually a pasta, in the pasta family, but it's really tiny, and it cooks in like a few minutes.
Do you put like and olive oil on it?
Yeah, olive oil, some seasoning. I mean, it kind of takes on any flavor you put in it, pretty much like rice would. You know, if you put olive oil and some garlic in rice, well, that's what the rice is going to taste like. That's kind of the way the couscous comes out. It's kind of the same way. And it's very versatile. So, you know, maybe that's another podcast.
You say you use the broiler, okay. So that's that's putting out quite a bit of heat there. So if somebody was going to do one on a grill, they would probably want about a medium heat from the gas or charcoal. And that would probably be about the same as the broiler.
Well,
maybe
the
medium,
broiler on high for me, I think, is somewhere in the 425 or 450 range, Fahrenheit.
Okay. So you want the grill to be a high heat. About the same thing. Well, if you got a thermometer on your grill, you're in good shape. Just got to keep an eye on that. I've got a little smoky grill, Weber smoky grill, that it doesn't have a thermometer in it, so I really kind of keep my eye on it there. But I can judge by how much charcoal I put in it as to how hot the heat's going to be. If we're just doing, you know, like a couple of brats on it, I'll only put about 10 pieces of charcoal on it. But if we're going to grill chicken for an hour and do some hamburgers after that's off of there, I'll pour it on there. I'll put about 30 or 40 coals in there, and that'll keep it hot for longer. So it depends really on how much you're going to cook on the grill with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, do you use
Sounds
the
good.
Same? Do you use the same ingredients every time for your salmon, or do you like to mix it up and use different spices?
Honestly, this is a recipe that I've been doing for probably at least 20 years, and my kids, my whole family, everyone, we love it. So I kind of never really veer off from it because I also don't do it very often. You know, I mean, it's probably a once every month, every 2 months that I'll make it. But I really never veer away from it. I have actually tried some different recipes. They haven't been very well received, and they're just mad at me for not doing the one that they like. So I'll just stick with that one. Yeah. It doesn't really seem like it would be. It seems like it would be very peppery. It would be overwhelming, but it's really not. That I'm not sure about the grill. That is something that the grillers will have to experiment with. But underneath the broiler makes those peppercorn and coriander and dill, all the seeds, very crunchy. And it's like a crust almost. It's very hard to explain it, but with a very juicy, tender flesh of fish under it.
Now, do you like to broil any other kind of fish?
I haven't.
That?
No, that's not true. I do love flounder. Yeah.
Okay.
And flounder is also very, very quick.
Mm-hmm. That's what you need, don't
you? Know, all the flounder,
time,
you know, the whole
time
fillet.
To eat, you know, when it's time to eat, throw a fish on. Get all your other stuff first.
Yeah, they go very quick, so they need quick sides to go with them or sides made in advance.
All right. Wow, this is interesting. I think I think we're going to be surprised as we go along, you know, that people have different ways of cooking different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what I wanted it to do, because, you know, a lot of people can put their fish in the oven, but a lot of people don't know, you know, like how to put it on a grill or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Now, does salmon have a lot of bones in it?
It can have. I have had salmon where, you know, there are a lot of the little pin bones still in there, and then I've had them where they're completely cleaned out and there's none left. I run my finger in the opposite direction where the bone line is on it, on the flesh, and you can feel them. You can feel them whenever they're in there, and you just pull them out. You can pull them out with your fingernail or, you know, even a pair of tweezers. But they come out really easy. I always check for mine.
Are they very long? So you know how long, you know. Are you going to keep pulling?
No, they slide out for the most part.
Okay.
They don't really take very much flesh away with them. They kind of just pull right out, and you toss them, and you can tell the minute you're done, you know, they're just slipping right out of there.
So you pull the bones out before you cook it or after you cook it?
Yes, before. I always check for bones before. Run my finger, you know, the opposite direction. And, you know, run it actually back and forth on both sides of where the bone, the backbone, I guess, or the, it has to be the backbone, I don't know, whatever the bone it is, but the little pin bones are, they can be on either side, but typically on the belly side is where they're at. You can feel them, and once you do, just pinch it and pull it out, and it just slides right out.
Very good, very good. I did not know this.
And some fish, you know, that like sardines and things like that, you know, when they are the made, you know, and in a can and everything, they got the bones, they got the backbones and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
You just eat them. You know, there's no problem with that.
They've been pressure cooked down so that you do eat them.
Right. So.
Now, redfish, that's, you know, notorious for lots of bones. Those are, I don't even like messing with redfish.
Is
I love to eat it.
Is redfish in the salmon family?
No, I couldn't tell you. James is probably much more advanced on the fish than I am. Redfish is
what
not in the salmon.
Question?
The redfish, is it in the salmon family?
I didn't Google that one.
It's not. I know it's not in the redfish family.
I know that.
I don't know what
a lot of
fish family
talking it's about.
In.
There's a lot of people down here talk about the redfish and see if you tried the redfish. No, you haven't. No. Well, why not? You know. So I would think that it wouldn't be, because they wouldn't be that excited over trying it out if it was part of that group. If anybody knows the answer, leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. And whoever's listening, anybody that's got a comment or a question or anything on this episode, you can just post it here in the notes or underneath there. We'll... Now, if you're listening to this on Spreaker.com, you can do that. But if you're listening to it on, like, YouTube or any of the other platforms that I've posted on, you would have to just leave a comment on that page itself. But we get back, you know, with thanking you for anything you can help us out with understanding about it. So...
Now, when you measure out your ingredients for your fish, your salmon, do you just eye it, like, you know, pour a little bit of salt in your hand and then just sprinkle it over, or do you go with a measurement?
No, on salt, I pretty much always go with the eyeball, you know,
right.
And depending on what kind of salt I'm using, if I'm using kosher, well, that's a bigger grain, so I can use a little bit more of that. But if I'm using, like, a very fine sea salt, I use less of that because it's very fine. The kosher salt, because of the grain of it being larger, it's
right.
less salty per area space, where the finer grain is much saltier. So I use less in the finer grain salt, and I use a little bit more in the bigger grain.
It's like saying that at the regular salt, if you had a tablespoon or a teaspoon mm-hmm. of regular salt, you would only need a half a teaspoon of sea salt. Or did I get that?
It's more if I'm using a tablespoon of kosher salt, which is the bigger grain, I would use probably less than a teaspoon of fine grain salt.
Okay.
The fine grain covers, it has a bigger density.
Most people
know
what you're saying.
But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Most people would know what you're saying. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I think that's all the questions I have.
Yeah, that's it's been a 30-minute show here. So,
Dee,
we appreciate you coming on here and doing this for us, breaking the ice for all
problem.
The other people. Use you for a guinea pig, I guess you'd say. But I think
exactly
it went well.
Right.
And anytime you want to come back on and with another recipe, just let me or Linda know, and we'll work you in.
Sure. Sounds
sure
good.
I'm sure we're going to need some people to kind of fill in here and there on it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. There are only going to be so many that are going to volunteer
right.
to do it.
I got nothing to do with it.
And the way I'm...
No, ma'am, you cracked that whip on. You are a born queen. I can't say that enough times. Is she not?
Yes.
She is a born ruler. Come on, man.
I
have been there.
With the iron fist.
She got me scared. She says, "You want to do that podcast?" I said, "Yes, ma'am."
Yes, ma'am.
It's been awesome. Your reign has been the probably one of the best reigns of the queens, for real.
Aww.
Now, Michelle Hunt, she did an amazing job. Amazing job, but you have really ruled your kingdom now.
Michelle
loves you.
Michelle's going to do one. She's instead of calling in on Skype or anything, she's going to do one and record it and send me the recording. So we're just going to talk about it for a little bit, who she is and what that, and then just play it, And so we're going to do that.
Awesome. Now, that's also an idea to get people to feel a little bit more comfortable. And I think, it's purely my perspective, but I think as people get the feel for it and see that it, it's not as scary as, like I was feeling out of my mind, thinking, oh, my gosh, what?
Me too.
But whenever they get the feel for it, it can go in any direction. It can go very serious. It can be a little bit fun, or they can do it as a recording of their own, if that's what they feel comfortable with.
Right.
And then,
okay. Hey, we appreciate y'all listening in, and we're running short on time. We've only had 30 minutes, and the episode actually ran 34. So we're going to call this the end of the show there, and maybe next time we did a little bit shorter so we can, present the whole show at one time. So until next time, I'm trying to think of what it was I ended the show with. Until next week, cook with heat. There you go. And this is James W., and that was our co-host Linda and our guest Dee. So thanks for listening. Join us again next time here on Blog Talk Radio.